today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, sitting in for Dr. Dobson today. America appears to be at a crossroads, with half of the population seeking to preserve the biblical values and principles upon which this country was founded, and the other driven by visions of a more progressive nature based on a value system that could result in irreparable damage to our nation. This crucial issue was addressed by Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, at a recent prayer breakfast hosted by FRC. Let's listen now to this compelling presentation on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
It is good to see each and every one of you. As Pierre mentioned, you know, we're living in an RV. It's not bad. I just convinced the family we're on vacation, so it's not bad. I'm glad you're here. It is a pivotal time in American history to be here. And if you spend any amount of time in Washington, D.C., believe me, you become a man of prayer. This is a challenging city. But I think what we're seeing right now, evidenced in our nation, is God answers prayer. Now, those prayers, we've not seen them to their full fruition. But I believe God has heard the cries of his people that have been raised up to him for years. What I think he has given us is a reprieve to seek the vision that I believe God began at the beginning of this country. And each generation must renew that vision to renew the culture and to turn our nation back to God. And I think it is appropriate that you're here. I saw, as Pierre had you holding up your hands earlier, that's appropriate for this city, especially as they're talking about tax reform. Go ahead and hold up your hands because they're going to... It's good practice being here. But the purpose of prayer is to get the heart of God. And once we have the heart of God, we're obedient to pursue the vision that God has given us. And I want to share with you this morning a passage of Scripture. It's not the theme Scripture, but it is in keeping with what I've been asked to speak about. And frankly, what I have to say is not as important as what God has to say. His Word is what he has promised will not return unto him void. In Nehemiah, chapter 4, the book of Nehemiah, but so it happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he'll break down their stone wall." And Nehemiah says this, "Hear, O God." Nehemiah was a man of prayer. You cannot read the book of Nehemiah and not see the fact that he was a man of prayer. "Hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders." So we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversary said, "They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came, they told us this 10 times. "From whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall and the openings, and I set the people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked, and I arose, and I said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people. Here's the key verse. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, to the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I said to the people, let each man and his servant stay in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time here together this morning. And I thank you for men of God who are gripped with a passion to pray. And Father, I thank you that tomorrow there will be people all across this nation praying, gathering at the steps of our local and state government houses and praying and interceding for our nation. Father, I pray that you would birth within us a fresh and anew a passion to pray. But Lord, a passion to pursue the vision that you have given us as a church and as a nation to pursue you. And we pray this, that you would bless our time together here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I just want you to remember and give you a little context to Nehemiah. After 70 years of captivity, the Jews go back to Jerusalem in three waves. Zerubbabel leads the first one. About 80 years later, a second group goes under Ezra. And then 13 years after that, Nehemiah goes back in an effort to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. As Nehemiah, he did this as he was moved with compassion for his people because he was driven to prayer. He prayed, God gave him a vision, and then he pursued it. So here Nehemiah shows up, and they had been there for 100 years. They had been prone to raids and to being intimidated and harassed by the surrounding nations and people. The walls were a sense of identity and a sense of protection. And Nehemiah shows up, and he says, we're going to build the walls. Now, I have to imagine that there had been some others around there before the, you know what, might be a good idea if we build a wall. Oh, no, Grandpappy tried that. It didn't work out so well. We can't do that. But a man came with a vision that was birthed in prayer. And when you have a vision that is not something that you just get because you had pizza last night, but rather it's a vision that is birthed in seeking the face of God, it has staying power. And so Nehemiah, with this vision, was able to do something that had not been done for two generations. And that was to rebuild the walls, establishing the nation, protecting the people, and giving them a sense of worth and the fact that they were God's people and his hand was upon them. There are some parallels to where we are today as a nation. Look, we have a system of government in which the people participate in. It's political, it's important, it's a part of who we are, but it does not define who we are or who we will be as a nation. I believe that God's fingerprint has been upon this nation from the very beginning. He has cast the vision for this nation through the founders. what we must do, what each generation must do, is as Nehemiah was disturbed by the distress that his people were in, the trouble that they were facing, he didn't try to create another political party. And I'm not knocking any of that stuff, but our first thing must be first, and that is to seek the face of God. He sought God on behalf of the people. It wasn't for himself. He was fine. He was in a good position. He was taken care of. His 401k was solid. But he was willing to leave all of that behind because of a vision. What is your vision for this nation? What is your vision for your family, your church, your business, your community? Unless that's first birthed in the prayer of God, we will not have the staying power necessary to pursue that vision. I just want you to see very quickly this. When God gives us that vision, when he gives you that vision, when you arise and you obey and you pursue that vision of God, as we see here from this passage, expect the enemy to arise and oppose. So don't think that this is going to be easy skating from here. For, oh, we had an election, you know, we voiced our opinion and it's all done. When you arise and you obey and you pursue the vision that God has given you, expect the enemy to arise and oppose. And from Nehemiah, we learn to pursue a vision from the Lord. And as we do this, you got to do four things. Number one, be mindful of the opposition. Sanballat and Tobiah, they were outright opponents. But even the Jews, the people of their own community, were naysayers. Oh, you know what? They said they're gonna stop us. This isn't a good idea, Nehemiah. I told you, my granddad tried this. You must return to the vision. And it must be nurtured and preserved in prayer. You must be mindful of the Lord. Look what Nehemiah did every time he prayed. And we prayed to our God. Every time we're faced with the reality of the opposition, we must go back to the reality that we serve a God who is all powerful. Paul in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. And we must be mindful of our responsibility. It doesn't stop with prayer. Prayer is the beginning. Prayer is where we gain the vision, but then we have a responsibility to carry it out. Nehemiah, realizing the threats, realizing the danger, realizing the opposition, took precautions, took the necessary steps, put the guard, set the guard, had the builders building with one hand and defending with the other. We have to be practical in pursuing the vision. It's not enough to stay in our prayer closet. You got to make sure the hinges work on that prayer closet. You go in and you come out. And you go to work pursuing the vision that God has given. And then finally, we must constantly be reminding the people of the vision and what is possible. Again, I draw you back to, I'm sure there were skeptics when Nehemiah came onto the scene. I mean, you know, it wasn't like anybody ever thought of, that didn't think that there should be a wall. There was no one that had the vision from God to carry it forward. It wasn't like some far-fetched idea, but they just didn't think it was possible. Can we have a nation again that honors the Lord Jesus Christ and the principles of Scripture in our public policy? Some would say, I don't know how you're going to do that. Well, guess what? If it were easy, anybody would do it. Any preacher could do it. Any Christian businessman, any Christian politician, but it's not easy. It requires the power of God through working through his people who are dependent upon God. It will only happen when we have a God-sized vision that is birthed through a relationship of committed prayer with God. Friends, I think it's time we think big. I think it's time we have God's vision and we pursue God's vision for this nation. And I believe He's given us a small glimpse of what He can do just in the political realm that we saw in this last election. And the protections that we're going to be able to reestablish for religious freedom is going to give the church the ability it needs to do its mission of evangelizing men, women, and children in this nation. And it must be protected and advanced by a prayer force. And I thank you for your commitment to that. Let me just close with this, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to go back to my RV. I'm going to tell you a story. A few years ago, my family and I were I got invited to go speak at one of my favorite places in the country, in Tennessee, in Pigeon Forge. And it was actually Answers in Genesis having a conference. They asked me to come up and speak. So I told my family, I said, hey, why don't we just take a week and we'll go up there. We usually go there once a year anyway. So I said, well, we'll just drive the RV up there and we'll spend a week. And so it didn't take much to convince them. It was on the July 4th weekend. So we were driving up there. Now, I define myself as a conservative. My wife defines me as cheap. But an RV affords us the ability to stop at Walmart parking lots instead of getting hotel rooms when we travel. So we had stopped the first night. We were at a Walmart parking lot, and we head off the next morning, and we were going through a place called Cleveland, Tennessee. Anybody ever been there? Okay. All right. Well, we were going down the main highway, and all of us, I got five kids, they're all in there, and my wife and my oldest daughter was sitting on the front seat, and we were having a conversation, this has been about 3 years ago, about how the politicians are destroying America, typical family conversation. And we were about to go under an overpass, and just as we were about to do that, my wife sticks her head up into the front. She points to a sign that was on the overpass. But it was a little bit too late. The sign said clearance 10 feet 6 inches. The RV was 12 foot 6 inches. We made it through. At least most of us. There was a part of the RV laying back there. But we get through, and there's this screeching and scratching and dust, and you just at that point you don't know whether to laugh or cry. And so we get through to the other side, and I'm stunned. And we're in traffic. The traffic was bad. I couldn't get over the side. My wife said, well, keep driving. And, so I'm driving. There's cars, blowing their horn next to me. And, say, hey. So my wife says, we finally found a spot where we could pull off. And so I pull off. She goes, I'll get out and check to see how bad it is. I mean, I knew how bad it was. I could see daylight. So we pull off, and she gets back in 30 seconds. She said, it's bad. So, the first full day of a trip where we were going to be, I got to speak the next day or the 2 days after that, and this is where we're going to stay. So I'm thinking, oh, man, what are we going to do? So long story short, we ended up finding a place to take it to, and we had to leave it, and my parents were meeting us there. So we get a U-Haul trailer, and we look like the Clampets, we got everything piled in there, and we go on to Pigeon Forge, and my assistant found a hotel room. Now, this is something you don't want to try, trying to find a hotel room on July 4th weekend in Pigeon Forge. We got the last room in the city, I think, and it was at a pet hotel. It was horrible. Dogs screaming and barking all night long. And so I'm out that Sunday morning, and I'm running, and I'm just kind of saying, God, why did this have to happen? And I'm just so discouraged. And I go back in, I tell my wife, I said, let's just go home. I'll call them and cancel the speaking event, and let's just go home. There's no way we're going to have a good time. I mean, it's just horrible. So she goes, okay, well, let's go see your parents. They were staying at a condo with no dogs down the street. So we go down, and we're going to go visit them about 10 o'clock on that Sunday morning. And so we're driving down there, and all of a sudden, these police cars start coming around us with lights on. And Ms. Pierre said, I spent time in law enforcement. So I'm thinking, Sunday morning, police cars, Pigeon Forge. I mean, what could possibly be happening in Pigeon Forge? So about that time, we pull onto a bridge to go up this hill, and we ended up getting stopped in this barricade that the police had set up on a bridge. And so I look to see what's happening, and I see that there's a woman out on the edge of the bridge getting ready to jump. Now, I'm still involved in law enforcement and serve with one of the departments as kind of a chaplain. And so I told my wife immediately, let me just get out. You take the car. And I got out, and there was two uniformed officers. The closer they got to the woman, she backed up on the bridge, about to jump off the bridge. And I said, they stopped me, but I showed them my credentials, and they said, can you help us? I said, I think I can. Long story short, I spent about 45 minutes and talked this woman off the bridge. Her son had been in the Navy, and she was estranged from him, and there was drug issues, and just, quite frankly, what so many people are going through today. And so she sat down on the curb, I prayed with her, and went to the hospital for her to be checked out, and the police took me back to the condo where my parents were, and my wife met me at the door. She didn't say a word, tears in her eyes. She just hugged me, but I knew exactly what she was saying. Aren't you glad we didn't turn around and go home? There's going to be opposition to pursuing what God has given us as His vision. There's going to be times we want to turn around. We just want to give up. We're not seeing the evidence of God working and moving, and it doesn't add up, and we want to give up, and we want to go home, and we just want to be left alone. But could it be that this generation, that those in this room and watching across the country, that we're on the verge of literally talking our culture and our country off the ledge and bringing America back to its founding vision? As Paul said, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Father, we thank You for Your vision, that You have for Your people, a vision, Lord, to pursue You in everything that we do. And Lord, we know that nations rise and fall based on how they align themselves with You. And Lord, You gave our founders a vision for You, a vision for truth, a vision to pursue that which was righteous and true. And so, Father, we pray this morning that You would birth first and foremost in us a desire to pray, a desire to spend time with You, to prioritize that in our busy schedules, in our busy lives. And Lord, as pastors, as business leaders, as political leaders, Lord, that You would take first priority in our lives, not in words, in what we say and profess, but in the prayers that we pray and the time that we spend with You. And Father, I pray from that, as You birth within us a heavenly vision, a divinely inspired vision, that Father, we would then have the strength and the endurance to pursue that vision. And may we often remind ourselves of who it is we serve. And Lord, let us not be sidetracked by the opposition. May we not become discouraged by the rubble and the debris that so often is found at a building site. But rather, may we be reminded of the vision and what is possible in and through You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. On today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, you've been listening to Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council, bringing an encouraging message of hope and revival at a recent National Day of Prayer gathering. I'm Roger Marsh, sitting in for Dr. James Dobson today. Dr. Dobson founded the Family Research Council in 1983 as an organization headquartered in Washington, D.C., designed to promote faith, family, and freedom. You can learn more about what the Family Research Council is doing today by visiting their website at frc.org. We have a link on our broadcast page as well when you go to drjamesdobson.org. Be sure to take a look at our Facebook page and join the conversation about today's broadcast there. Like us when you go to facebook.com/Dr. James Dobson. Finally, this word of thanks for your prayers and ongoing financial support of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. This program is completely listener-supported. We rely on God through your tax-deductible financial contributions to help us continue in the work to which He has called us, equipping families to stand for righteousness in today's culture by modeling healthy marriages and healthy parent-child relationships. You can make your donation securely online when you go to drjamesdobson.org. You can make your contribution over the phone when you call toll-free, 877-732-6825. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.